discussion groups, and book clubs that meet via Zoom. To learn more, visit uwp.edu/ALL.
This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that focuses on the concerns in the Tri-County area. It's hosted by Jane Herring, Marcia Connett, Joan Rory, and Ron Purty. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 32-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's host.
Hey everybody, it's Ron Purty here with Community Matters. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. This week I have, or month I guess you could say, I have someone very special, very close to me, that's here in the studio. He is the owner of McCullough's Pub on Meacham Road in Racine. He is also, as far as my estimation goes, Mr. Racine. I don't care what anybody says anywhere else. This guy is Mr. Racine. J.J. McCullough. J.J., thank you so much for being here.
Hey Ron, thanks for having me.
So we're going to get into Blank Fest in a little while here, but there's so much more to talk about vis-a-vis Racine. Now, you do a lot for the community. There have been people, I'm sure, on numerous occasions that have told you that you need to run for mayor. What is it about Racine that you love so much?
You know, well, Ron, you know me for a while.
It's
that whole punk rock ethic, you mm-hmm. know. It's like growing up a punk rock kid, if you didn't like something, do something about it.
Right.
You know, and it was one of those things like when I was, you know, 17 and there was no place for bands to play, how I'd, you know, rent a hall. And I always had a work ethic. I mean, I would get out of school right away and go to, you know, everybody I knew went, did extracurricular activities. I went to work. So I, you know, put money away and I'd book these shows. But anyway, the whole point is that, you know, it's just my community, and if there's things that I don't like about it or I think need changing, I'm going to do something to give back and to make it a better place, you know, instead of complain about it.
Yeah, no, that's what I do. I just sit behind a microphone and complain about it. It's funny because I feel the same way, but probably to a little bit of a lesser extent, because I'm not, like, outwardly Racine gung-ho, but I was watching Wikipedia Fact or Fiction from Loudwire, and they had Greg Graffin from Bad Religion on, and somebody mispronounced Racine, and I lost it on them. And, like, you can't hear me, and this was recorded 3 years ago, but I'm going to yell at you for mispronouncing Racine. And then when, you know, Greg corrected him, and then he called it Rat Town. And I was like, oh, wow, he's from here. Yes.
I've heard that.
Yes.
Rat scene, no scene.
Yeah. But now, I know you're... what's it like? Because I know you bring the Celtic aspect to the pub, and you bring a lot of Celtic acts to Racine, which is predominantly a, I would say, Danish German type of city. What is it? What's the reaction like to bringing acts like Scary Boar and the Chili Pipers to a town like this?
Well, a lot of that is because of my association with the Milwaukee Irish Fest. I've been very fortunate and blessed to be one of the stage managers for the last 22, 23 years at the Milwaukee Fest. So I've gotten to know all these guys throughout the year. And, you know, it's like these bands are huge and they're playing all over the world and they're playing these festivals, but there's that element that, you know, sometimes it's fun to play a pub, you know, let's be close to the audience and, you know, where you can actually see their faces and, hey, we know a guy.
Right.
So it's kind of one of those things where the, you know, I'm very fortunate to have those bands, but at the same time, they love doing it because it's, you know, it's like even, well, I'll use the example right now, like Motley Crue's doing those shows in L.A. at their clubs. Now, I'm not comparing Scary Boar and Chili Pipers to Motley Crue, of course.
Yeah, because they're better than Motley Crue.
Well, but, you know, it's one of those things where that's kind of the situation. Here's these bands that can play in front of 10,000 people at a festival coming into Racine to play to 125 in a packed little club, and they love it. It's fun, and it's, you know, and for me, it's awesome because it puts Racine on the map, and it's kind of a neat little, yeah, Racine, all right.
Yeah, and they always do seem, like, I worked the door at a couple of them. They do seem to pack the place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is great. Just the last time I saw I didn't see it, I could hear it, was I remember when Raised in Black played.
Oh, God, you're going back a long time.
That was before
ago.
I turned 21. I couldn't go to the show. I was stuck in Vic Thompson's living room watching his ferrets because I couldn't get into the show because I was only 20. And I was like, can I just... No, he's not going to let you in. He's not going to let you in. And it was probably a good thing because now whenever somebody's like, you want to go to a bar? I'm like, let's go to McCullough's. Because that's as Matt Geary used to say, home base. Home base. What was it about? Like, I know you are a big fan of The Cure. Yeah. First and foremost, have you heard the new songs?
I have. And I actually heard those songs over a year ago.
Okay. Yeah. But I mean, you got to be glad a new album's coming out in less than a month. Like 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm not one of those people. Basically, legacy bands, the older they get, the more boring they get. Like, I don't really get excited. Mm-hmm. But I will admit, this is one of those bands that I am like, okay. It'll be interesting. Like, you know, a band like Metallica, I know what they're going to release. It's going to be garbage, and it's not going to be the same. And it's like, okay, mm-hmm. It's just a bunch of old guys trying to their best to recreate what they used to do. And some of it's good. Some of it's with The Cure. It'll be interesting to see. But
yeah, let's do a little JJ fact or fiction. You went to their Hall of Fame induction.
I did.
And what was that experience like?
It was cool because it's like. My buddy Repo called me out for my hypocrisy because I've always been critical of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But when you get a chance to go to New York to see The Cure, Roxy Music, Def Leppard, The Zombies, Radiohead, Janet Jackson, all in one evening, I'm going to go. My buddy Cameron from the band Carbellion, he works for Ticketmaster, he was able to get me amazing tickets, so we were in the area like where the band's friends and family were, so we had amazing seats. And it was one of the first times in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's history that they focused more on the music than the speeches. So The Cure got up there and had a 7-8 minute long speech and then played for like a half hour.
Thank you very much.
So that was really cool. But the other cool thing is, you know, I'm one of those people that I go into towns, I go into the little, you know, try to find the local bars. I found a little bar that was close to the Barclays Center where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction was, and met this bartender from Ireland, and we just, you know, became my favorite bar. I wish I could remember the name of it. But as the evening went on, the crew from the Barclays Center, like the lighting guys and all the people who work, the technical guys, my people, the people I love talking to, I'm always fascinated by the crews. We're coming in, and so we was talking to them, and hey, you know what songs they're playing? Getting the inside info on what was going on and what to expect from the people actually working.
Oh, that's
that
amazing.
Was really cool.
Yeah, it's like a good sound guy can hide when one member of the band is having a bad night. And that's why the crew is so important, I think. And I think a crew knowing the band that they're working with is another big thing too. Like they you can't just have somebody like, I just learned sound and I'm gonna do this for Beethoven.
Well, you know, I've been lucky enough to travel with both Scary Vore and the Red Hot Chili Peppers as a crew member.
Mm-hmm.
And what a lot of people don't realize is you see, like, if it's a 5-piece band, you see the 5 guys and you think that's the band. No, the band's, there's 10 people, there's 20 people. The crew are just as important to a band's live sound and their tour, not even just live, but even recording. Their sound guys, their technicians, I mean, they're part of that band, you know. It's just that it's the 5 guys with the instruments on stage that get all the kudos and all the credit, but the people behind the scenes make that band a fine-oiled machine as well.
Right, no, definitely. And if you ever have never been to McCullough's for a live show, you have to go because I've yet to hear a bad one. And I've been going there for, let me check my tattoo, at least 18 years. At least 18 years.
I wonder if Dale's listening to this. He'll disagree with you that miserable guy.
Yeah, well, that's fine. That's fine. I don't. And you know what? I don't even care.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to go with the lady friend of Jerry Smith this weekend, so that'll be interesting.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. And she's like, can we go through the haunt? I don't know. I don't know. We're going to go through the haunt. But so the best part about McAuliffe's, in my opinion, because I'm being biased, is every year we get together to do Blank Fest, and it's something that neither one of us wishes we had to do.
Yeah.
It is something that I discovered when I was on a defunct website doing a show similar to this called Now Live, and I met Ken Rowell, who was the founder of the OG Blank Fest back in... It's been 25 or 26 years for them now, and they do it in Nyack, New York. They do it from noon to midnight on a Sunday, and then they go out and they hand all the blankets out. We do things a little differently, actually a lot differently, but it's still the same message. It's all about the homeless, nothing more, nothing less. When I first brought this to you, we were going to do it at the square originally, and we realized that the square would not be big enough, so we decided we were going to move it to the pub. But when I first brought it up to you, what was your initial thought, like, you know, somebody else trying to get something done here, or what was like?
I thought it was a great idea. You know, it was like, this is a great idea. And plus, like I always told you, is like, if I have the means to help out, like you were looking for a place to do it, and I have a big enough room, booking music. Let's see, let's book music. To help raise awareness and supplies for the homeless,
right?
No brainer. It's like it's things we're good at. That's what you know. And if there's the bands are willing to do it, and you know the community's ready to come out, it's why wouldn't you? You know.
Yeah, and I know at one point we gave to the vets.
Well, when you first came to me, it was for the vets,
right? And then we got so much.
It was such a huge success that it's like, oh my gosh, Ron! It's like we could probably spread this out. And now over the years, it's gotten to the point where we're even going into Kenosha now.
We're able to give to the Shalom Center.
Yeah.
Which is, we're Racine boys. And I know that this is a Kenosha station, but just please bear with us here for a second, you know. This year, like last year, I think was the biggest year, I think, donation-wise.
Yeah.
We had Shameless Place. We had, I don't even remember because I'm so focused on this year. I remember Shameless Place was big. And I think their friends.
Oh, That Honey.
That Honey played. That was a big night. That was a big night.
But there were two nights. What were the other nights?
I'm trying to remember what the other night was. I'm so sorry to anybody who played the first night because we're so focused on this year. And I'm really glad that we have everything booked out already. It takes such a weight off of both of our shoulders trying to get bands booked. We have both nights. Mike Smith coming in from I forget the name of his
Merciful Mike Management.
Yes. Yeah. And if you remember CD Warehouse in Racine about 1999, 2000. Yes, that was me. And yes, thank you for the thumbs up. I was in the commercial with him. He managed the CD Warehouse in Racine. Now I believe he's a teacher in Kenosha. I don't know what he teaches with that hair. But he helped us out, and he booked the second night, and it's Bray Road, Racing to Red Lights, and another band that I can't remember. But I remember the first night.
See, I wish I would have looked everything
up. But you know what? You can go to our Facebook page. Just look for Blank Fest Wisconsin, it'll have everything. The first night, which is more of I don't want to call it adult contemporary, but it's more alternative, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's like the term in the radio industry, AAA.
Yes.
But no, it's more. So one of the things, you know, we should let everybody know, like Ron's being very humble here, where he's, you know, talking about how Ken did it in New York, and they would go out. You know, we do things a little differently because that would be hard for us to, you know, collect all that. And there's people, there's services here in the community that have their finger on that pulse. And going out and by no means making this bad for Ken and theirs, but going out into the community in one night, it's a much bigger place because it's New York and there's more people they can find. In Racine and Kenosha, a lot of the people are hidden. They don't want to be found. They don't. Some of them have such mental health issues. They want to be left alone. So when we get these supplies to the different community centers, the different shelters, they know how to distribute it. And the good thing about how you do it, Ron, and how we do it is that we collect enough stuff, especially last year, that it can also go into the summertime. Mm-hmm. So like there, it's not like, okay, we just got enough donations that, okay, these people will be okay for a month or two. No, we've done, it's gotten so big that we've been able to stock these shelters almost for until the summer, and for almost the whole year, at least until the next Blank Fest.
Right. So. Yeah, and that's the best thing is we also accept, unlike the other Blank Fest, we also accept cash donations at the door if you don't. See, that's the thing that always bugs me, is that we promote well in advance that to bring toiletries or blankets, and people will still... Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
And we've been doing this for... This is our 18th year, and people still don't, you know. But regardless, we raise more than enough in the way of monetary funds that we're able to... If, say, Halo says we need XYZ, and they'll come to us, or I'll see it, or JJ will see it, and then we'll contact the other person, and we'll just do it. Get it done with. Help them out. And that's something that's, we're able to do it all year round almost.
Yeah. Well, and like, you know, when that money we hold on to, and then like, I'll let you know, like,
yeah,
how many times Holly Anderle, beautiful, beautiful human being, does the Monday night meal program at the hospitality center,
which we'll get into in a second. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, there's been times where they've run out of supplies. They're like, oh no, we need to go tent containers. We need water. We need something for the meal program, and we'll have that money from Blank Fest that we'll be able to use. And then I always let you know, it's like, hey Ron, we took $100 out to go buy, you know.
I don't think we've ever had a problem with doing, you know, it's just like, yep, we're just letting each other know basically if something needs, or, and since he's got the money, if I see something he doesn't see, because he is a busy bee, I'll tell him. Yeah.
There's been numerous times you've been like, hey, do we have funds? Can we help out? And it's like, yeah, absolutely.
I think one of them was like more recently was, I think, didn't Halo need diapers or something?
I think so.
Yeah. You know, just, I mean, I need diapers, but that's just because I'm getting old. But
I'll tell you a story off the air later. Same here.
Life is great as you get old. But and the thing I love the most about Blank Fest is that you get to see people that you don't see usually during the year. Like, there'll be people who show up that I don't see at all. And it's like, oh, wow, it's you.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have people who will, every year, will go out of their way to make sure that there's tons of stuff there. You know, we recently lost a big supporter to Blank Fest, Dale.
Dale Kessler.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Let's differentiate the Dales here.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a tough one.
Very much so.
Yeah. He was an amazing guy. I can't look at my wall without thinking of him because I got that Fangoria poster.
Oh yeah, yeah. I remember when he framed that for you.
Yeah, I was on a date with a woman and she looked at me like, "What's Fangoria?" I'm like, "Yeah, you're not it. Guy, you gotta go. You gotta leave. You're done."
So Dale Kessler was a friend of ours and a friend of the pub that he pretty much every month was donating something to Halo or any of the shelters. But whenever we needed something, he would bring cases of stuff and but he would always do it throughout the year as well. But when Blank Fest came around, Dale was there.
And he never made it like made us a fuss about it, so nobody like ever really knew he did it.
No, he didn't want that.
Yeah,
he didn't want people to know.
Yeah, and I mean, this whole episode's kind of sad if you think about it. But let's talk about once. I just want to say that like we reach everybody or as many people as we can. We try to. We reach the Hope Center. We reach Halo. We reach the Shalom Center. I don't even know all the places in Racine that come out.
Halo, Hospitality Center, Hope Center, Women's Resource Center.
That's where I was going with this. I remember, I think it was 3 years ago, it was pre-COVID, when our friend Ashley gave us that big box of toys that they were going to get rid of at the store she worked at. And it was just stuff they couldn't sell. And we took it to, you and I both took it over to the Women's Resource Center, and just watching, I just need a second here. It just watching like how they reacted, and it wasn't a good reaction. It wasn't they were happy. It was because, you know, we're a couple of large fellas, if you don't know us. I'm 6'4", you're what, 6'10"?
6'6".
Yeah, I'm finally at about 300 pounds, which is good. I'm dropping a lot of weight. It's called stress and diabetes. But to have the two of us go up to the Women's Resource Center, which these women have had to deal with so much, and then to see us walk up, it's got to be – you could see them kind of cowering almost. And it was heartbreaking to see that. It just made me want to find anybody who treated them badly and turn it into another installment of Saw.
Yeah. Well, I fixed that in the recent visits now because now I bust out the old Santa Claus
suit. There you go. Perfect.
And so I show up as Santa now and give them their toys.
There you go. At least the kids are happy because Santa, you know, he found us. it paid off being chipped at the veterinarian. But that was really heartbreaking and just all in general. And now I know we used to have an issue where we didn't know who would get what, but now it's here's this here. It's set up on a Monday in the pub. We put the blankets here, toiletries here, et cetera, all over the place. And we tell the shelters, come out and take what you need.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well,
it's like a buffet.
Well, when we first started doing it, you and I were like banging our heads going, well, who needs this? Who needs this? And well, we'll just bag this up. And if we were just randomly giving this stuff, and then finally it was like, no, you know what? The shelters probably know what they need. Why don't we set it up where we separate everything and, you know, get big table to bring the tables in and, you know, the pool table, and we just put everything, we separate everything, and then, like you said, the shelters come in and say, oh, well, we could use that, and when the other shelters will be like, oh, well, we got plenty of that, so we don't need that. And so nothing goes to waste, and everybody gets what they need.
And it actually looks like a buffet if really large people came running in there to eat and just take everything, and there's like little dust balls.
Well, a buffet of blankets and toiletries.
Yes, it's blankets and toiletries, and there's just little like the little dust balls rolling around like it's a Western, and there's nobody left there in the city. It's a ghost town.
Yeah.
And that feels good. And now let's talk about a little bit about his name is escaping me at the worst time, but the guy who sets up Point of Light.
Oh, Point in Time, Scott.
Point in Time, yes, Scott.
Yes.
That's it, Scott. Now, that Scott is something Metzel. Where they do go out. And,
yes.
Yeah, so explain that a little bit.
So Point in Time is a thing that where you go out twice a year, but it's a homeless count where you basically figure out how many people are on the streets, and it determines how cities get funding. Now, Scott, though, on the other hand, he is doing basically Point in Time every single night. Him and his team go out every single night, especially in the winter, and they look for people to see if they need shelter, if they need, like I said, a lot of people have mental health issues or drug issues. Some people just want to be left alone. So that's where a lot of our Blank Fest stuff comes in. He'll find somebody who doesn't necessarily want help or the shelter. They just want to be left alone. He'll leave a blanket. He'll leave some supplies for them. But he goes out into the community every single night and tries to get the people to come into shelter or to make sure that they're doing okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm making a plea from me to you. Listen to your Uncle Ron. If you have excess sleeping bags that you don't use, we definitely take sleeping bags.
Yeah,
because that's pretty much where they would go at that point.
Yeah.
Scott would take those out with them. And so if you have sleeping bags, and just so to those just joining us, it's me, Ron Pertee, and we're here with J.J. McAuliffe, the owner of McAuliffe's Pub and one of the people behind Blank Fest Wisconsin, and really helping out Racine as a whole. Let's talk about the Meals on Monday that Holly does. Is she okay? Like, is she, like, physically now to be able to? Because I know I don't get in too much into, because that's her personal business and it's her story to tell. But
considering all the things that she's been through and she's what she's going through, for her to do this, and I'll just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. The woman's a saint.
Oh yeah, no.
The woman is a saint.
I don't believe in that stuff, but I think she is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no. At some point, there's going to be a light that takes her somewhere.
Yes.
And it's probably going to be somebody with a big truck. Yeah. That has a big light on the thumb. Kidding. But no, she has been involved with Blank Fest since little after its inception. She's been like our go-to person. Yeah, and I remember back in the day we were able to, what was the name of the shelter downtown that we were able to pay her electric bill?
Oh yeah, the Love and Charity,
yes.
Mission. Yes, that, and that's where the money, a lot of the times, the money that we raised actually went to pay their utilities. Yeah,
and then after she passed, it kind of, the place kind of fell apart.
That's when.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a story for you and your Google machine.
We had nothing to do with it, folks. I went there numerous times and saw what she was doing, and I saw the need. And when she was alive, she was running the place what it was meant to be. So
yeah,
we'll just say, so yeah. If anybody out there is like, well, wait a minute, we know about that place. No, she ran it properly. It wasn't until after she passed that, like Ron said, Google it.
Yeah, because I remember from firsthand experience, my dad went down there after his club had one of their like big things or whatever, and they had a ton of leftover food, so they drove it down there to give it to her. And I don't know if she wasn't there or this was after she passed, but they kind of like looked at it like, oh, what's this?
Yeah.
And she would have been welcome. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
But no. And so he's like, well, fine, to whatever, and he left. I'm toning down my father's language. Trust me. And it's probably good because the FCC is listening. helping the community, I think, and I always have those dreams where it's like, if I won the lottery, I know what I'd do, Yeah. And there are people who always say that they know what they would do when it comes to the homeless and stuff. But you and I, we know how all this works, and we know what needs to be done if we had unlimited funds to fix everything. But like you said, there are a lot of people who don't want to come in. How much do you say, from your own opinion, how much do you say mental health plays into the homeless situation? Is it a big part?
It's a big, big part.
Yeah.
And that, because working, volunteering Monday nights with Holly at mm-hmm. the Monday night meal program, you see, I recognize, I live downtown too, so a lot of the people that come and get the food, I'm like, oh, I know that person. I've seen that person around. I know who they are. And there is a lot of mental health issues, definitely. In some cases, alcohol, drugs and alcohol, mm-hmm. That plays into effect, and that's sad, obviously. But, a lot of it too, some of the people who are with the drugs and the alcohol, they're not only are they dealing with that, it's on top of the mental illness. But I would say out of 20 people coming in on a Monday, at least 5 are definitely, maybe a little even more, are definitely suffering from some kind of mental illness.
And would you say, like, the drugs and alcohol problem has, sometimes when the people are suffering from mental illness, they take the drugs and they drink the alcohol as a way of almost medicating themselves to try and...
Absolutely.
Because they can't get their medicine that they need?
Absolutely.
Which is ridiculously expensive, folks. It really, I can speak from firsthand knowledge. If I didn't have insurance, that stuff would be ridiculously expensive. Just to keep me normal, if this is normal. Yeah, imagine me not on these meds. Woo! Now, how many people would you say that the Monday meal program feeds?
Oof. On an average Monday night, we give out anywhere between 125 to 100 and sometimes 150 meals.
Jeez. I mean, I'll see people drive when I go through when I drive through downtown. I drive through a lot. I'll see people just sitting outside that church, and I don't know if that's a place for them to congregate. And I get the pun. Yes, I can hear somebody yelling. Yes, I get the pun. Is that just a place that a lot of homeless people congregate? Is in front of that church, or
well,
do they do stuff outside of the Monday Meal Program?
No, they do. Okay. So the Monday Meal Program actually has nothing to do with the Hospitality Center. That's all Holly's.
Okay,
that's Holly's thing. But the Hospitality Center lets us use the facility. But when you do see people congregating outside of the Hospitality Center, they are open during the afternoons. They do give like a breakfast and a lunch. In the winter, it's a warming center. They have coffee and hot chocolate. So that's why you see a lot of the people out there. And it's caused some controversy in Racine. There's
well,
no doubt
yeah.
about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know about it. And here's the best part, though, is let's look at that, Racine. Who's still there, the Hospitality Center or the people who had a problem with it?
Huh?
The place at the corner that had a problem?
Oh, well, you know? Yeah, but there was more to that.
Yeah,
I
know, but still, I just
there.
Like rubbing
yeah.
it in their face because I'm petty. But yeah, so I mean, there's just so many options out there for people. If you are hearing us and you do need help, reach out. I mean, if you know how to reach out to me or to JJ or to Holly, or if you're downtown and you see the Monday Meal Program going on or anything, just reach out and get some help. You know, plain and simple. That's all there is to it. Now, Blankfest
well,
this year.
Actually, that being said, too, Ron, every so often we've been pretty good with volunteers, but every so often we have a Monday where we're in a state of panic because we don't have enough people to help volunteer. So, if anybody's listening to this and is interested, get a hold of me. Stop at the pub. Get a hold of me. We'd love to have, you know, you on a list or backups in case we need somebody. Mm-hmm. So it's always good to have. And that's the other thing, too, is Holly's really good at, you know, working with some school programs that we've had kids come in that were getting school credit for it, you know. So
yeah.
they actually got to see, you know, unfortunately, a darker side
yeah.
of life, learn a little bit, and volunteer and then get a school credit for it.
And it reminds me of that picture, I don't know if you've seen it, where Alice Cooper is like dishing out
yeah.
food at, and
yep.
those kids don't know who he is
yep.
and he's still doing it because he know because people realize that the only way we're going to survive in this world is helping each other, plain and simple. That's there's no bigger or smaller way to describe it. Now that also being said, is we even though Blankfest is about a month away at this point, we'll take donations now. If you
oh,
can't
absolutely.
Make it to Blankfest, you want to drop some stuff off at the pub, go right ahead.
I actually just got a message from, you know, Brenda.
Yeah.
Yes,
oh,
but
yes.
Brenda already has some clothes, and she's like, hey, can I don't have to wait till December, do I? It's like, absolutely not. We tell people this all the time, you know, if you have anything throughout the year, you can bring it to the pub. We try to encourage you to go to Halo and to some of these places.
That can be tough, though.
It absolutely can. So it's very understandable if you don't want to. But if there's people out there listening to this that has blankets or, you know, clothes, you know, decent clothes, not, mm-hmm. you know, that they, you know, they don't want to give it to Goodwill. They'd rather see it go to use, but they don't want to go to the shelters. You can always reach out to us, reach out to me, and I'll take it for you. So,
yeah, and
you could use the pub as a drop-off center
yeah.
all year long.
And if you want to use my celebrity to get a hold of me and be like, I have a fan letter, but really what I want to do is, it's like, oh, fine, whatever, I see. At least you listen to the show. Let's talk about, though, the first night of Blankfest coming up, because it is going to, as big as the one Mike booked, the first night's going to be just as big. This might be the biggest Blankfest yet. We've got Josh Krug opening it. I don't know if his dad's going to play with him or not, but that's always a good...
Probably. I think yeah. for something like this, yeah.
yeah. And what's great is the second band can always set up behind him before he plays, because then they don't have to worry. You know, setup time will be next to nothing until the second and third band. And then following Josh Krug is Shameless Place, who is always, they've been very good to Blankfest and vice versa. and headlining. I'll let you. You got this one. You go right ahead.
So my good friends Betsy Aid and the Well-Known Strangers with their new keyboardist Katie Todd in the band. So
I heard about that too. I heard about it at the comic shop. Yeah. Believe it or not, from somebody else.
So yeah. that's exciting because I was very fortunate enough to book a tour for Betsy a couple years ago. We played.
Was that after The Voice?
Yes, it was. But we played all over Scotland. We did like a little week long tour of Scotland. It was wonderful.
And you mentioned Cameron from Carbellion. You went to the UK with them, right?
Yeah.
And,
this summer.
That's the singer Cameron, right?
Yes. Okay. Yep.
All right. I hope he doesn't have to try and book tickets for Pearl Jam shows. Oh, that's an old joke. That's a 1993 joke.
No, now I think with him working for Ticketmaster, I think everybody's coming out of the woodwork and trying to. Matter of fact, Cameron, if you're listening, I was going to hit you up. We need those Oasis tickets.
I would just like a Bad Religion ticket, please. I've only seen them once at Warped Tour when they played before Alkaline Trio, which I think is just a load of garbage. They should not be playing before Alkaline Trio. They've been a band for 40 years. 40 years! And the only time I could have gone to see them was when they played with Social D in Milwaukee. And it's not a horrible thing, but I'm not the biggest Social Distortion fan. Despite my haircut saying otherwise. But I'm just like, you know, Bad Religion, because you got the hometown connection with Greg. And his dad apparently just retired from Parkside.
Yeah. That's kind of funny when you run into people and they're like, you know, at like either my place or George's downtown, like, hey, is that's Greg Grafton's dad. It's like, yeah, he lives in Kenosha.
Yeah, he's... Oh, you brought that up good.
Yes,
okay, so
yes,
who are that's who it is. It's Bray Road, Callous Wizard, and Racing to Red Lights. Now, isn't Racing to Red Lights Mike's son's
band?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's going to be a very, very cool show if you're into heavier music on the second night.
Right. And that's what we were saying, too, is like we try to make things fun for everybody. So, like, one night will be, you know, it's a night you can bring your parents, you can bring your grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Betsy, I didn't mean that as an insult. And then the next night is more for the rockers, you know.
Right.
We've always done that. Like, you've brought in some really, we've, like, Dead is Dead and some of those great, Bart's band.
Thunder Driver.
Thunder Driver.
Yeah, Thunder Driver. Getting them up here now was kind of a mess,
yeah,
but.
So there's always been that edge to Blank Fest where there's, like, one night that is more your, you know, adult or orientated, and one night that's more either your heavier alternative rock or your more metal. But we try to make it that it's for every, you know, every. Oh, I forgot to mention too. We'll probably have Ian the next day. So
on
Sunday,
yes.
We'll have Celtic. We'll have Irish, you know, Irish pub tunes.
Yes, Ian's a good guy. It's all an all around amazing event. And if you don't come out and you want to support, just hit me or JJ up or go to the pub, have a pint, and bring a blanket. Plain and simple. That's all it takes. And you're helping the homeless. It's about the homeless, nothing more, nothing less. I'm glad that we have everything booked because now I can worry about what I'm going to wear as opposed to what bands are going to be performing and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm probably gonna. I might film some of it this year.
That'd be
just
cool.
We did the one year. I don't know if it was during the pandemic or right after, where we live streamed it, and Bob had everything set up.
Oh yeah,
that was amazing. Yeah. That was amazing. And it's funny though. There are some horror stories when it comes to this kind of thing, because I remember there was a band once. I asked them to play, and I said it's a benefit, and their reaction was, "Well, what are we getting paid, and can you cover our hotel?" And my reaction to them was I simply sent them the definition of what a benefit was. That was my reaction, because I don't have time for people who are trying to get something out of it. There's no point for that at all. We've had some, you know, like I tried to get Chris Simpson from Mineral and the Gloria record to come up, but he's in Texas. That's a big ask.
Yeah.
Will Whitmore, he played the digital one, but getting him to play the physical one would probably be tough. Because he's in Iowa, and I think he's on the road supporting a new record. So,
well, speaking of which, that that digital one, in case you're wondering, there was a year where we couldn't do it because of COVID. Ron put together a blank fest that was virtual. And oh my God, was that something else. I mean, you had Dave Arcari from Scotland, mm-hmm. and here he is staying up until the
like 4 o'clock in the
morning. He could live stream, and then you had the guy
Tim Midia from Silkworm.
Yeah. Oh my God, that was so much fun.
And then William Elliott Whitmore and Conan Neutron and Ken Rowell performed.
From the
original Blank Fest. I'm trying to think who else. There was a bunch of people, and I wouldn't mind doing it again in the summer.
And, of course, it was different then because there was no physical blankets being collected. This was more of a donation.
Still raised like $3,000,
though. Over $3,000, yeah.
It was nuts.
And I think that money all went to Halo or I can't remember who distributed it.
I think Halo did. I think all the links. PayPal and Holly.
Through Holly. Yeah.
And if you can't trust a pastor, who can you trust?
You're right.
You know, but that is a very, very. I'm kind of contemplating doing it again because I know what I did wrong and what I need to do to make it better. And maybe that would be a good idea. That's something to think about just during the summer to kind of because I know it's hot and people got everything going on, but if you do it online, because I know we did it in May of 2020, and I did all that when I had all that other stuff going on with I was turning 40 and it's horrible.
Old man.
I am. Oh, jeez. I found gray hair. I was like, no, that's not good. So we got a few minutes left here. We're going to wrap up. I just want to thank JJ. You can find McCullough's Pub, 3700 Meacham Road in Racine. I know that because I've written it on posters so many times that it's ingrained in my cerebellum.
And we're very close to Kenosha. Got
to
remember. We're only about a mile up the road from KR.
And not only that, but if you want some of the best food that's not fancy pants food, that you can get there and bring into the pub. Ferraro's is right around right around the corner.
Yeah.
I remember when Ferraro's was on 3 Mile in Erie, and we would order it and eat, and it was fantastic, and then it became Dave's and all that whole mess. But it's Blank Fest is, we should probably say when it is. December 13th and 14th. So Friday the 13th is when Shameless Place and Betsy Aide and Josh Kruger playing. Maybe we should have switched that around, but that's fine. it's all going to work out. And it's 8 o'clock. The doors, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. 8 o'clock. One blanket, new or gently used. We don't want the blanket that you took with you to go on tour with the Grateful Dead, because that thing is like the blanket that was underneath the dog in that episode of The Simpsons that had been there since the '60s. We don't want that blanket. Usually Menards or places like that will have a sale, like where they're really, 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 really ridiculously cheap.
The throw blankets.
Yeah, that's all we're asking. We're not asking for whatever. But if you have sleeping bags or things like that, we also accept toiletries like toothpaste, toilet paper, all sorts of stuff.
You know, even a lot of the shelters, coffee, hot chocolate, mm-hmm. water.
Yep.
Yeah, especially like with coffee is important because, you know, the hospitality center and the Hope Center are warming centers.
JJ McCullough, JJ, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, Ron, thanks for having me.
To everybody who's listening, and follow me on all the social medias at I'm Uncle Ron, and we'll see you next time. Bye bye.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click Shows. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
Support comes from Sylvan Learning of Kenosha, offering personalized tutoring from certified teachers that's designed to inspire, convenient scheduling, and affordable hourly rates. Explore the options, search Sylvan Learning of Kenosha, or call 262-694-6286. WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine.